Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And Pastor Brian is wrapping up this week's study in Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, in a verse-by-verse study entitled Preparing for Battle. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And in the deceitfulness of anger communicates to you, and I'm just speaking metaphoric, it doesn't actually talk, but you know what I mean. It says to you that, you know, you deal with that later. And as if time is going to have anger diminish within your hearts. That's not the way to get rid of anger. The Bible says to put it off. And I'd emphasize today we need to put these things off. Well, the next time I see him, or at the next Christmas is coming up, you're not going to be ready at Christmas. It's going to get worse. It takes root and it develops. That's what sin does. That's the deception, deceptive nature sin that tells you just lay it dormant and it's not going to bother you. Sin goes from bad to worse. It doesn't just stay there idly in your hearts. It wants to captivate more room. The Bible says the person that sins is a slave to that sin. And the more you sin, it leads to further bondage. It doesn't lead to freedom. And having something lie dormant in the hearts is not the answer. And that's why when the scriptures would go out and we'd speak on the subject of forgiveness, if you're sitting in the congregation, you're going, oh, you know, I wish you'd stop talking about that. Is that a heart that's been callous towards God's word? I mean, if you're not dealing with alcohol, and I say, hey, if you speak on the subject of alcoholism or, you know, being drunk, you don't react that way. You're not, oh, quit talking about alcohol, because it's not a sin in your heart. And your heart's tender. Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back to that if you're involved in that. That's not something I want part of my life. And your heart's tender about that. So your reaction to the topics that we look at today show you, has your heart been calloused? Because the other ones that I talk about, they don't affect you. Because it's not the sin that you're dealing with. That's the callousness, that hardening that's happening. And sometimes going to church is like going to the dentist. Here I'm like a dentist trying to pull that tooth out. Shouldn't be that way. Well, listen to God's voice. We have a tenderness. God, soften my heart. The Bible even says, break up the fallow ground. And that's what that heart does. That's what sin does. It makes that ground hard. Now the seed goes in and it won't penetrate. And it's not me that has the problem, because I'm talking about this subject. If your heart's reacting to it, then that shows that there's been a callousness that's building up. I'm just trying to expose that to see you get freedom and forgiveness. And that, again, that's why worship's so important, because we're coming into the presence of a holy God, and I need to dump my sin. I need to get cleansed, and God's mercy says, oh, you're forgiven. And that's supposed to motivate me to forgive others as well. See how all these things, they all fit together and tie together. And that gives you that tender heart, so that when the word goes, you're, oh yeah, I know I need to forgive. I need to just drop that situation. Let me tell you this just frankly. If you are going to be used by the Lord, there will be reasons and circumstances and people to give you a lot of reason to be angry. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be used by the Lord, you're going to be hurt. They go hand in hand. That's a promise. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, it hurts a lot more when it comes from your own brothers and sisters in the Lord. You think they should know better. Why are they acting this way? Why are they treating me this way? And it's hurtful. When it comes from your family, they think you're a Jesus freak. You know, it hurts a little bit, but hey, if they don't know the Lord, you realize they don't know the Lord. That's why they act this way. When it comes from the body of Christ, that's when it's, oh, we're supposed to be a team fighting together, and this guy's taking his bayonet and he's stabbing me in the back. And it's unexpected, isn't it? If you're going to be used by God, that's what's going to happen. It will happen. It's happened to the best of people in the Bible. You're in good line. Moses, Jesus, Paul, David, and the list goes on and on and on. That is just part of it. That's why we need to be quick to forgive and quick to put off anger. It needs to be just like water off a duck's back. If you're gonna stay fresh in what God's wanting to do, you need to be quick to be forgiving, because there's going to be plenty of reasons or opportunities for you to be angry at people. That's why we need to put it off. And today I need to put it off. Don't think, well, next week I'll come back and then I'll be ready. You won't be more ready. It's that slow callus that's developing. So he says there's some other things that we need to deal with as well. Malice, blasphemy, and then filthy language out of your mouth. And I would also, you know, just thinking on filthy language. Obviously the things that we'd say, cussing or foul jokes. Also gossip. Although that wouldn't necessarily be filthy language, the Bible speaks about gossip. And if you're going to be used in God's kingdom, you cannot be a gossiper, nor can you participate in gossip. You can't let your ears be trash cans for people to dump their gossip into it. You need to stop it. It'll affect you. It affects the best of people when someone says something about someone else. There's an impact that's there, and you just don't want to, you want to walk in love. The Bible says, let your words be seasoned with grace. Gossip, again, is that little hidden sin, and it's deceptive, thinking, well, it's not that bad. It's a horrible sin. We're hurting somebody, hurting someone's reputation, spreading divide and discord. God says he hates those that spread discord among the brethren. Also in filthy language, you know, when I look at a scripture like that, I think of the entertainment that people watch. It's on a movie or on TV. Well, I didn't say it. Does that make it any better that you didn't say it, but you are sitting there and you're allowing that to come into your head, into your mind? You know, I noticed a change. You know, when I was growing up, we had some pretty interesting TV programs. I was a full TV junkie, and I watched, some of them were okay and weren't evil or anything. You know, Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, and the Brady Bunch, and all these programs. And, of course, that classic family program, Bewitched, about a witch. Now that I look back at it, I'm like, that wasn't too good. But there's definitely a difference in the entertainment today than there was when I was growing up. And what has happened is because of cable TV, they're allowed to cuss and do vulgar things there or whatever else, that same thing has spread over even to the network programs. And what the TV network programs have done, it's kind of interesting, is that they will allow, you know, a cuss word to come out. And before they used to be fined or censored, but now that's not taking place. And so recently, in the last few years, they allow, you know, foul language to come out right there on the TV, and they sit back and watch and say, what's the reaction of the people? You know, if they gripe and complain, well, we're not going to support your sponsors, and, you know, don't have this, or I'm going to watch your TV programs, then they try and adjust, but they do these little tests. And they're finding out it really doesn't affect people. So now just even on your own TV, let alone if it's cable or whatever else someone may have, it's just coming right out through. And you shouldn't participate in that. It shouldn't be something you should allow to enter into your home and into your mind, into the hearts of your children. There's something you need to cut out. And you say, well, I guess for myself, you know, the type of Christianity that I want to walk in is not just the bare minimum. I'm not just glad, oh, I made it to church this week, and that's a big success story. I want to come into the purposes of God. And if I'm going to come into the purposes of God, there's things I need to cut out of my life that are going to hinder that work. And not only just cut things out, but desire God's work, desire the things of God's kingdom. And so when God would bring a sense of conviction upon my heart, I just need to turn that off or not watch that or walk out of the movie, whatever the case may be, but not participate in such things. I want to come into the fullness of what God has. And those little compromises, those are the ones that eventually lead to a bigger compromise. And once you hear one cuss word, and oh, it's not so bad, it just begins to multiply. And we're almost immune to it. I mean, I've seriously had people tell me, go see this movie. Because a lot of times, I don't usually go to a movie until someone else sees it. And they, a lot of times they say, oh, don't go see that. Or, yeah, it's a good, clean movie. And they say, hey, there's no cuss words in it at all. And I'll go there, and there'll be some, because their ears aren't trained. My ears, I've trained my ears if I hear something to say, I can't watch this. And so it's a sensitivity to me. And then part of it is because, you know, I'm not out in the world with a lot of non-Christians, and most people that I'm around are believers the majority of the time. And it's not like I'm hearing cussing all the time. And when I go out to a restaurant and hear someone cuss, it's like, you know, just it's offensive to me because I'm just not around that. And, you know, before I was saved and when I first was a believer, I worked in some areas that, you know, the language wasn't pure. So I understand that. But at the same time, I want to train myself to, I want to walk in purity, I guess is what I'm saying. I want to come into all the purposes that God has. I don't want any little thing to get in there to begin to harden my heart to any degree. And when God says no, I'm not fighting with it and saying, well, Baba, there's no arguments. There's no resistance to the voice of the Lord. And that's going to help me continue to walk in faith and come into the fullness of what God has for me. We as a church corporately need to do that as well. And that's what God has with this new generation. The power of God's been manifested. He's brought them through that journey. He's ready to bring them on to the next purpose, greater purposes, but he says, let's stop. Let's deal with the heart. That's the way the Lord works. He deals with the heart, then he brings us into something greater. But he's not going to bring you into his purposes when you're walking in disobedience. Disobedience and God's purposes do not go hand in hand. We may deceive ourselves and think that it's going to happen, but that's what it is. It's deception. So we listen to God's voice today. We deal with the issues that God wants to deal with quickly and say, Lord, clean this out of my life. As we do that on a regular basis, we find ourselves, like Joshua and his crew, going in and taking more and more of what God has promised to us and experiencing the fullness of what Jesus Christ is all about.